Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to Science Faction, the only show where a scientist, a comedian, and a comedian scientist come together to discuss science comedically.
Hello, and welcome to Science Faction 487. Science Faction, dat wap back.
Oh, we're talking about wild-ass paleontological pussy again? I love it.
First of all, that doesn't even make sense. It would be wap-pa-pa.
Oh, I'm sorry. How do you pronounce one P versus two P's?
Wap-pa-pa.
You went out of your way to pronounce that shitty.
Oh, dear. Speaking of going out of his way, I'm your host, comedian archaeologist Robert Timothy. With me, as always, is my comedian, Mr. Damien Mercado. Damien, how you doing today?
Doing great. Can't wait to hear about our sexy-ass paleontological moist article.
Let me just tell you, it seems like you have been greatly misinformed about what WAP is and what it means, and I'm excited for the fact that I get to inform you about it.
You know what? I need to go take a 30-minute long dump. Right now, just keep going with the episode. I'll be in at the end to we could talk about those sexy ass paleontologists.
Oh, I see you got more honest about how you were advertising your Dungeons and Dragons podcast.
IBS.
Yeah, no, it's just your Dungeons and Dragons. It's a 30-minute long dump.
How dare you? Our podcasts go for over an hour.
It's a huge pile of poo in the middle of the toilet, and then somebody tosses a 20-sided die.
You have no idea how funny the show is. We have Jesse Egan, and I know you love and respect him.
I do. I don't know what you've done. I don't know if you've blackmailed him in some fashion to get him on your what you have described as 30 minutes of taking a dump.
Okay, Bobby. You know what? We share the same Patreons, so we're not fighting in front of the kids. Let's not fight in front of the kids.
Oh dear. All right, let's get right on to science articles.
From molecules to particles, this is Science Articles.
Bobby, can you and I talk in the next room real quick before we get to science articles? Could you and I just step away?
No.
Just in the closet one. Without microphones.
All right, article number one. Dat wap back.
That's what we're talking about. You know what? I'm taking my finishing my dump early, coming back for this.
Yeah, you guys may remember that a few months ago we caused some controversy. Some say we broke the internet when we quoted the term WAP, wet archaeological pussy. And it became a huge thing. People on the right were shunning it. Ben Shapiro had a big old Twitter storm about it and stuff. So
logically, archaeologists are just not the most sexy profession. Logically speaking, it is conservative podcast hosts that replace the word logic with the absence of emotion.
Indeed. So we do have another exciting archaeological article, and I wanted to give you guys that WAP warning.
By the way, been doing my Ben Shapiro imitation. Way less fun. Way less fun than Alex Jones. I hate Alex Jones, but I will say he is fun to impersonate.
Yeah, because Ben Shapiro, you can't just rip off your shirt and cover yourself in gravy as part of the impression.
Why not, Ben? Why not?
Because he's an Orthodox Jew. I think that's not kosher, actually.
His rabbi disapproves of a lot of the things he does and the crowd he appeals to.
But anyway, yes, wet archaeological pussy became a big deal as, of course, women basically went on Twitter to almost 100% unanimously agree. Yes, every time I see or hear about archaeology or archaeologists, mm-hmm. I better not have a suede seat cover because that's getting ruined.
Hey, by the way, our Science Faction fans, if this is true, Bobby is single, so feel free to hit him up in any such way.
I am happily married, and it's rude to tease all that WAP out there. You just literally just saying that I'm single probably ruined a few Chevy Lumina car seats on the drive to work. You have done damage, Damien. Apologize, sir.
Chevy Lumina, that's the car you're thinking.
Our fans are not in a high socioeconomic base.
A 2012 Ford Fiesta, which is what I drive.
Oh, dear. So this is actually a really interesting archaeological article. So go ahead and, put some saran wrap on those seats, ladies. So let's get right into it. So when we talk about large-scale civilizations in pre-Columbian North America, you're really only talking about one, which is the Mississippian culture, the Mississippian mountain culture. And this is a big cultural complex centered around the Mississippi River that had, including at least one decent-sized city we called Cahokia.
Where along the Mississippi?
Well, up and down. So Cahokia, the main part, is right across from St. Louis. It's in Illinois. But right across from the river on the Missouri side, it's on the Illinois side.
That explains St. Louis, built on an Indian graveyard.
Yes.
I'm sorry, a Native American graveyard.
You know what's funny is when people say that all the time, it's like if you know enough about Native history of the Americas, it's like, yeah, but those Natives built their graveyard on the graveyard of other Natives. Like, there were different regional groups that totally took over and dispossessed and everything. So, like,
I completely agree. But only the most recent occupier of space that did not belong to them is allowed to get vengeance upon the more recent occupier.
But, like there have been, Europeans here for 500 years. And, like, that actually outdates the Navajo groups, which actually didn't come here from Canada until, like, the 1500s. And so, like, do Navajo burial grounds count as ancient burial grounds? Because technically there were white people in the ground in the United States before the Navajo stepped foot here.
Listen, I think you have a general misconception of hauntings. Okay, so now, the Navajo ghosts, they are being haunted by the people of the lands that they occupied. And also,
the Pueblos.
The Pueblos are haunted by the people that they occupied.
Yeah, like Clovis. Exactly. Yeah, it goes back until you're just haunted by monkey ghosts.
Yeah, you think that once you die, you stop being in horror movies? No. Ghost-on-ghost horror crimes are some of the most violent.
If humans came from monkeys, then how come there are still monkey ghosts?
Oh, my God. Oh, it's just a monkey wearing a sheet. That's a racist.
Oh no,
monkey.
It's a clan monkey.
Yeah, baby.
All right. By the way, make sure to tune into our new podcast, Clan Monkey. It's a less politically correct Curious George.
Less politically correct. That is an interesting way of saying racist.
The man in the yellow hat says some really mean things about Asians. Oh, fuck. I think we had a science article cover here. Oh, yeah. Okay. So,
no, let's go home. Put your hat on it, Bobby.
For the most part, if you're talking about major scale, large pre-Columbian civilizations in North America, you're talking about the Mississippian mountain culture, big, big group. Cahokia, the main city of the Mississippian mountain culture, is about 20,000 people, which doesn't sound that big, right? Like, that's slightly bigger than like a small mountain town that we're used to, right? But at the time, about 1100 AD, this is about the same size or around roughly the same size as like London. And so, yeah, not big by our standards, but by city standards of the time, quite large. And that culture eventually was wiped out mostly before they even saw white people, likely due to, if not before us, then, diseases that got there before the white people actually got there. But this is actually a very interesting article about a new site discovered that might be part of a second large-scale North American civilization. Now, again, going back that time, anything above Mexico, you're not seeing large-scale civilization. Down in Mexico, you have everything. You have the Aztecs, and you have the Mayas. Before that, you have the Olmecs, you have the Toltecs, you have all these things. South America, you have the Incas, you have all these other groups. But North America, really, it's the Mississippian mound culture, and that's pretty much it. Except there was an area that the Spanish referred to as the Great Settlement. For a while, we thought they were talking about the Mississippian mountain culture, but the locations didn't match. This is in Kansas. And when the Spanish captured one of the natives from this area, they referred to it as Etzanoa. And in that time, we have found five of these council circles, which are like big houses. They're now mounds. They're basically dirt mounds. And they're circular or semicircular, and they were the council house or the ceremonial area for that group. Now, we have found five of them in the past couple hundred years, but we always found them after they'd been destroyed. Somebody had run a bulldozer through them or built a town on top of them, etc. Well, somebody was doing some excavations a while back, and they noticed some stuff in an area in Kansas. A current day researcher looking back, and I think this was like 60 years ago, said, "This is really interesting.
This is where we shall place Chiefs Stadium."
That is in Missouri, not Kansas.
It's on the good side of Kansas City, if you know what I mean. The Missouri side.
So they said, maybe there's another council house here. We should look for it. So they commissioned a drone and flew around, and lo and behold, found a new council house, a sixth known council house, and the only one to have not been destroyed before being discovered, which means it's pretty much completely intact. And they did this with drones that had thermal imaging and regular imaging on it, and they were able to basically pick out these semicircular mounds that we can now go and investigate and tell a lot about. And we now think, based on the distribution of these now six council houses, their size and etc., that this area may actually rival Cahokia in terms of the largest settlement of North America. Super cool. I love that they use remote sensing. I love that it's like a mix of the old and new. It was going back into some old archaeology records from 60 years ago. Mix that with some drones, with some really cool thermal imaging software.
And punching some Nazis, just for good measure. That old archaeological...
I mean, it was a monkey Nazi, but...
Hey, so, yeah, I don't care what he was dressed as. Actually, I care a lot what he was dressed as, because I just don't support punching random monkeys.
And don't get me wrong, like, whenever you see somebody do, like, the Zig Heil, that's incredibly offensive. It's offensive to me. It should be offensive to all Americans. But I gotta admit, it's pretty adorable when a monkey does it.
Or at least, like, I'm less likely to call him on it, because I don't know how to fight a monkey. That just seems scary to me.
Yeah, they've got teeth, and like, if, especially if it's a new world, it's got the prehensile tail. You know, that one's really scary.
It's like a cat. Like, I'm pretty sure I could take it, but at what cost?
Yeah.
Like, I don't want to fight this cat.
How many dogs will I have to kill?
Listen, Hitler cat, I don't want to fight you. I really don't want to fight you.
Very, very neat stuff. And one of the reminders that this is just kind of what we are seeing with remote sensing, with the ability to go out and look at large scale pieces of land. It's really revolutionizing archaeology. For in the past 10 years, we've done everything from find gigantic Mayan cities in Central America that have been covered by jungle. We thought they were fucking mountains and they were pyramids. We found stuff like that. We found entire civilizations with cities that we didn't know existed in the middle of the fucking Amazon. We found that Angkor Wat, a very famous site in Cambodia, actually was just a small part of this big, large city complex with a bunch of aqueducts and stuff.
Had a wrestling ring.
Yeah, we found such amazing stuff with this. I even did my own remote sensing project. And one of the reasons this is so exciting to me is I do a lot of drone photography and remote sensing. I did a project back in 2012 where I figured out that some big geoglyphs, big ground drawings that we have in the Eastern California desert out here, were prehistoric and not proto-historic by doing different UV light analysis and figuring out what the original images look like. There is some really interesting stuff, and it's a really interesting field of study. Because normally, especially in something like archaeology, if you want to make a big discovery, well, first you have to find the site, then you have to excavate it, then you have to analyze the excavated data, then you have to kind of put all that stuff together and write it up, and things take a very long time. Like, sites that I worked on in undergrad, I watched finally get published like 12 years after I graduated. So it takes a while. But this is a really fast, really exciting thing. You throw a drone up there with the right, you know, software, and one day you don't know a site is there, and the next you have the entire site layout basically done with an infrared camera.
I'm picturing Bobby looking at a proto civilization with his drone and this new technology, and I realize it must be old. Is that a Stussy S I'm looking at?
Hold on, undergrads. Let me show you how to do this. You just do these three lines like this.
And then these three lines like this.
Oh, I'm sorry. Did somebody just get a whap?
A little, yeah. I don't want to give it to you, but yeah.
All right, on article number two, unconscious pattern recognition correlated to a belief in God.
No shit. Of course, people who misinterpret patterns will believe in a fake friend who gives them strength. Of course. I mean, like, don't get me wrong. If I was in prison and I was like, hey, God, if you get me out of this rape feast in which I am the main course, I will believe and pray to you all day, every day. Don't get me wrong. If I'm placed in that extreme situation, even my atheist ass, I think, would lean towards Christianity. Or maybe I'm not giving myself enough credit.
We should just stop and appreciate the term rape feast for a second, because that's an interesting way to describe the U.S. penal system, but probably quite accurate.
Yeah, it is crazy. We say cruel and unusual punishment, but apparently we don't look at sexual assault, even on men. Maybe that was like the secret impetus for having minimum security present. They were like, listen, we're going to send this white man away to be savaged in his buttocks.
We can't allow that.
Oh, I thought you meant it was kind of like, thought of it like the way airlines do, where you have like a Spirit Airlines and they're like, listen, we don't take care of anything. You want bag fees? That's extra, right? But and then they go, we got a higher tier ticket you can buy. And with that tier ticket, you can bring on bags, you can get headphones, whatever it is, right? I thought they were the same with prison. They're like, listen, in regular prison, we're not going to care that much if you get raped. Like, we got other stuff to do. The bears are on TV, right? But in the nice prison, oh, you want to upgrade? Now you get the no rape prison.
Yeah, which is why you want to be a billionaire. Also, it works that way for heaven. By the way, if you're the richer you are, like heaven is
no tiered. Rape heaven?
Oh, yeah. Oh, man. You think heaven is no rape? Ooh. I'm sorry to burst your bubble, Bobby, but I'm a Christian now. I learned it in prison.
This is heaven, not the Oneida factory. What do you expect?
Okay, what was the article?
Yeah, we're talking about God. So what do we know about offhanded beliefs in God? We know, obviously, that the biggest influence is the cultural influence in which you are brought up in. Hence, the reason that Christians tend to have been brought up as Christians and Muslims tend to be brought up as Muslims, etc., etc. Now, obviously, that's not always the case. There's conversions, etc. A lot of this has to do with social learning, but we also know there's some genetic factors. There's some genetic factors towards certain penchants within religion. Now, we don't always know what that means. All we can say is, you know, all these people who tend to be religious seem to represent this particular mutation. Hey, maybe that's just a coincidence of the fact that all those people are related to each other and they're in the same cultural group. We're not sure. We have seen some things that seem to indicate time and time again that they are associated or correlated with religion, but nothing as much as the cultural influence that somebody grows up in. Sometimes, mind you, you don't even have the option to not be the religion that you grow up in. Not as much in as many countries around the world now, though there are some, but certainly through most of history, you didn't necessarily have the chance. Like, you grew up in France in the 13th century. You didn't get to go like, you know what? I think I'm going to be Catholic. It's like, no, you're going to be Catholic or we're going to torture you to death.
Well, I could be Jewish. Not a good call either. The Catholics, they don't have a lot of good things to say about them. Well, I could be a gypsy.
So what was really interesting is this study wanted to look at something different. They wanted to look at this implicit pattern recognition. So all individuals do this to some extent. We kind of predict complex patterns. Now, you can see this in terms of a person doing this pretty reasonably. For instance, the pattern that the streetlight is going to go green, yellow, red. Green, yellow, red. And so therefore, if we see a yellow light, we can pretty much assume that red is going to come next to it. That is pattern recognition. A little bit more than that in our case, because we've actually been told explicitly this is how these things are programmed. But that is the general idea. However, then you can get somebody like a John Nash, you know, very famous from A Beautiful Mind, who would see patterns where patterns did not exist. And that becomes a paramount of things like schizophrenia and things where all of a sudden you are seeing all of these connections that aren't actually real. Well, what these researchers wanted to do is look and see if this, like, implicit pattern recognition had some kind of correlation to a belief in a god. So, in order to do this, the first thing they have to do is control for the cultural component, because we just talked about how the cultural component is the biggest component in terms of whether or not you are going to be religious, what religion you're going to choose, etc. So, in order to do that, you have to get super diverse groups. Damien, they picked two different groups to try and maintain a big group of diversity. What two groups?
Cultural
two national groups.
Racial diversity, religious diversity.
Yes, all of the three. Now, these are two national groups. So what two nations did they pick?
You said yes to all the three of the things. Okay. I'm going to say Brazil. Brazil's mostly Catholic, I assume. But
yep.
I know racially, yes. They're very diverse.
True.
Or just a lot of African Brazilians and then maybe a couple. I don't know. So Brazil? England.
Brazil and England. No, they went U.S. and Afghanistan.
It's crazy that I didn't pick the U.S. We're the melting pot country, but I wanted to go off. Afghanistan surprised the fuck out of me. Explain that.
Well, think of the varying differences. You have the United States.
Ever since Rambo popularized Afghanistan in Rambo 3, people have just been flocking there, tourists. bachelor parties on a fuckcation.
Now, the reason they probably didn't want to do something like the UK is they actually have such lower levels of religious of highly religious people there that it's kind of more of a fluke. And so, in general, if you're highly religious in societies that aren't highly religious, there might be something additionally wrong to you. The US is the most highly religious, like, Western nation. We're pretty dumb about it.
Do we beat Turkey?
Again, Turkey is the only one that beats us in terms of first world nations, in terms of acceptance of evolution.
That's nothing to hang our hat on. That they're the only one that we beat. That's nothing to hang our hat on.
Yeah, yeah. That's in terms of acceptance of evolution. That's slightly different. But in this case, they're looking at groups of people who include not so religious and highly religious people in an environment where it's okay to be highly religious. In the United States, it is not considered super weird to be like a young earth creation, like things that it's crazy to be in other first world nations as a grown adult. It's not crazy to be here because we accept that people can be highly religious here. So they looked at these two groups, and then we have these pretty good tests to check out implicit pattern learning. They have to do with, like, you see a dot on the screen and you try and predict where it's going to go. And we have pretty good prediction tests of that. The researcher's hypothesis was that people's brains who are good at subconsciously discerning those patterns, like the ones they're seeing on that computer, in their environment, may ascribe those patterns to the hand of a higher power, and therefore, maybe higher pattern recognition, implicit pattern recognition, higher chance of being highly religious. Well, they did the tests, and the data suggests that if children are unconsciously picking up on patterns in the environment, their belief is more likely to increase as they grow up, even if they are in a non-religious household. Likewise, if they are not unconsciously picking up on patterns around them, their belief is more likely to decrease as they grow up, even in a religious household, meaning that even with cultural influences against it, the chance of somebody becoming religious or being super religious is most predicted by whether or not they unconsciously pick up on certain patterns around them. Super interesting. And by the way, the first test to ever look at or discuss this issue.
I know a lot of people who are dumb as fuck. And if you had told me that there is some pattern recognition genius that they have, I would disagree, because they have not applied it to any other portion of their life.
But again, think of the schizophrenic. The schizophrenic isn't a super genius because he thinks that the newspaper is correlated to the fact that he ate eggs that morning and that, like, that's telling him something. That doesn't make him a super genius. He's just seeing patterns that aren't there. If anything, it makes him dumber because whatever machine is there has a bug in it.
So the fact that religion is so huge amongst dumb people in the United States so they're all incredible at pattern recognition, whereas all of these smart people...
Again, culture is still the big factor. Even though this suggests that you're going to move towards or away from a religion more likely based on this than culture, culture is still a huge factor. So all of that makes up... We know that social things are like a big deal. There's a whole bunch of people who will tell you, I am this religion, I am Christian, I am Muslim, I am this... And they aren't. But, like, that's the group they're in. That's the culture they're in. And it would be weird and ostracizing to declare them yourself one of them. That's not one of them. And we're also biased because we're in a city. But if you're in the middle of nowhere and that's your only social group and your only social circle and church is where everybody does business and that's how you get your customers for your business, like, I don't know that that's an option.
Yeah, that was kind of a big point about joining the military. By the way, if any of our American listeners ever want to join the military and you're from a big city, let me tell you what it's like. You basically realize that you are living like 50 years ahead of time to anybody outside of, like you're like, oh my God. Listen, I know racist. I'm from the city. We need a lot of people. I know racist, or I know religious people. You know, I know, pick whatever negative stereotype about the United States you want. And when you meet people from different states, from parts of county with like city populations that you didn't think fucking existed, they're like the size of a high school. You're like, oh my God, these people get to vote and it counts the same as me. Oh my God.
And then that's the story of how Damien was in the army with the man with the yellow hat.
You had a lot of good ideas. Let's not throw the baby out with the bathwater. You had a monkey, which was funny, and you dressed up in funny outfits. I know it's not PC.
I love studies like this because they help kind of get a glimpse into the way and the reason that people act the way they do. Religion is such a huge part of life in places like the U.S. and obviously an even bigger part in places like Afghanistan, that it's a really interesting little quirk. And because there are weird social taboos about talking about religion, you might insult somebody, it's something that is...
Fuck that.
It's this elephant in the room that underlies a significant amount of, you know, choices and cultural milieus and the direction that our society is going, but we don't really talk about it in that way. You know, people bring up and talk about their own personal religion, why they believe it, but we don't talk about religion as a whole and how it influences people the same way we would, like, you know, economic policies or something. And it's weird. And I think when we see things like this, at least for me, as somebody who's not particularly religious, I see that and think like, okay, maybe this helps me understand people who are quite different. And maybe in understanding why they're that way, you can help the negative aspects of it. Obviously, religion itself doesn't have to be a negative aspect, but there are certainly negative aspects to it. So maybe if you figure out what it is that draws people to it, you can find a way to like cut the fat and get the bad parts of that out of there. So we don't have people stopping our kids from learning biology in the classroom. But if you want to get together on Sundays and sing some hymns, go for it. Knock yourself out.
There's that strategy. The strategy I employ is one where I point out to them that they're a 40-year-old, an adult who believes in magic.
That works. Yes, of course.
And I feel like I get a strong reaction from it.
Yes.
It's hard to interpret the data because I don't know how to work Excel, but
thank you, audience, for coming back to Science Faction 47, where you learned all about that new WAP site and a groundbreaking new study that tells us a very strong factor in whether or not somebody believes in God. Thank you so much for joining us, and come on back later this week for Science Faction 487.
I just want to let you libtards know that my wife, a medical doctor, has informed me that having a wet archaeological pussy can be very unhealthy. Facts don't care about your feelings. Shapiro out.
You've been listening to Science Faction. Wait, that's not right.